college. The Southwest was hit hard, with New Mexico named as the worst in the nation, with more than 30% of the state's children living in poverty in 2011. Nevada, Arizona, and Mississippi also had high numbers of kids living in poverty. Janine Herbst, NPR News, Washington.
Officials in Calgary, Canada, say the 65,000 people who evacuated can start returning to their flood-damaged homes, but they say power outages could last for weeks or even months in some places. The mayor of another town, Medicine Hat, says that town is now subject to flooding, very possibly. The South Saskatchewan River there expected to overrun its banks. I'm Paul Brown, and this is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from CarMax, offering more than 35,000 used cars and trucks, online and in stores from coast to coast. Learn more at CarMax.com.
Programs on WILL are made possible by The Great Impasta, a family-owned restaurant serving foods from northern Italy for more than 25 years. The Great Impasta, Lincoln Square in downtown Urbana. More information is available at 359-7377. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner.
Good morning, I'm Jim Meadows, and you're listening to an encore broadcast of a previous Focus program. We're not taking calls this hour, but we'll be back live tomorrow at 10 a.m. on WILL AM 580. Jeremy Hobson's resume includes stints at public radio stations along the East Coast and jobs at NPR's All Things Considered and American Public Media's Marketplace. But here at WILL, we know Jeremy Hobson as a coworker, a young coworker. He worked here as a college student in 2000 and 2001. And at various projects way before that. So Jeremy's public radio background goes back a long way, and now he's about to take on a new job as the next co-host with Robin Young of Here and Now, which is coming to NPR and coming to the AM 580 schedule in June. Jeremy Hobson, welcome to Focus.
Thanks, Jim. Good to be here.
Glad to have you with us. Now, for folks out there who may not be familiar with it, Here and Now has been on public radio for quite some time, but it hasn't been on WILL. Could you fill us in on what the program's about?
Yeah, it's a news magazine. It's kind of like Morning Edition and All Things Considered. It's more interview-focused, I guess less sort of reported pieces are on the show right now, although that may change to some degree as we sort of update it as it enters its new era with two hosts. It has at times had two hosts, and one host, Robin Young, has been there all along. She's a well-known, very smart, very wonderful media personality in the Boston area. A lot of people who grew up in Boston know Robin Young going way back from days on television, but she's been anchoring Here and Now for the last, I think, 12 years, and I'll join her starting July 1st, and it's going to be a 2-hour news magazine in the middle of the day. We'll cover the news as the news happens. They've done a great job in the last week, for example, covering the Boston bombings. But also we'll have arts and culture and business news and foreign news, and we'll try to really bring a nice mix of stories each day.
Thanks for making the point about the date. I had said June, but of course, Here and Now will you'll be joining it in July, and it'll come to the AM 580 schedule in July as well. Jeremy, you've been working mornings now for quite some time. Is there a different sensibility in how you think people want to hear news content in the middle of the day compared to crack of dawn?
It's a good question because I think mornings, and I have loved doing mornings. For one thing, I think you have a more intimate connection to the listener in the morning. I often hear from people that they listen to me while they're taking a shower every day. They shower with me every day, that they wake up with me, that they're having their coffee or they're driving to work with me each day. And I really like that. And in the morning, you haven't heard all the news already. By the time you get to the evening, I think a lot of the shows need to be a little more analytical because you've been consuming news, whether in the newspaper or on the radio or on television or on the internet or on your mobile device all day long. You kind of know the the basic facts of what's happened, and you want to get analysis in the evening. And I think that the middle of the day is probably closer to the morning than it is to the evening, but it's a mix. I think that there's going to have to be probably more sort of thoughtful analysis of what's going on. But a lot of stories happen. They break in the middle of the day. I mean, I think that if you look at the amount of presidential press conferences or just big stories that happen, they tend to happen around 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and then they get covered that evening on the news. So I think we're going to be dealing with a lot of news as it happens, and I think that's one of the things that NPR and WBUR want to do with this is be a little quicker to react to things when they happen and be able to really reshuffle what we're doing on the show as things happen.
So that creates a new opportunity for you, Jeremy. I've heard you on Marketplace Morning Report. You've interviewed some pretty important people in the world of business, but I got to admit, when I hear those interviews, I just have this certain awareness the clock is ticking, so to speak, because you only have so much time.
Right. I mean, we have I do five 7.5-minute shows each morning, and yeah, you don't have that much time. One of the things that we've tried to do with the Marketplace Morning Report, and I don't think it's even been on for that many years on WILL, so maybe the listeners aren't familiar with what it was like before. But one of the things that I've tried to do is, if we have an interview that warrants going 7.5 minutes and taking up the whole show, we'll do it. We did it with Warren Buffett. We did it with Richard Branson. There are some interviews that I feel like should go that full length. But also, yes, I mean, most of the time when you hear an interview that I'm doing with somebody, it's on the air for 2-3 minutes. This is going to be, we're going to be filling 2 hours a day. There's going to be a lot more to do. Which is, it's a challenge. I think in some cases it'll be great. In some cases it's probably going to, as we're doing these interviews, we're going to feel like, this could have been 2 minutes long and we've got to fill up six. But that's the way it goes, I guess.
Now, this Here and Now is produced out of WBUR in Boston. And is this a bit of a homecoming for you? Because I think you've worked there some years back.
Right. I went to I did most of my college education in Boston, and while I was there, I went in very early after I got to Boston. I went in to go and meet some people at WBUR, which, for those who know Boston, there are two big public radio stations in Boston, WBUR and WGBH. So I had been introduced to go and meet the news director at WBUR to see if there was something that I could do. And as I'm coming out of his office, I run into Alex Ashlock, who, of course, also used to work at WILL. I knew him from Urbana. And he said, "We're looking for a production assistant for Morning Edition on WBUR, and would you like to come in?" So then I started going in at 4 o'clock in the morning or 3:45 or something like that a couple days a week while I was in college. And doing that, and ended up staying there for my entire time at school. So yeah, it is a little bit of a homecoming. I went to see some of the staff of Here and Now recently, and I saw that I knew about half of them already. So so that was great.
And I should note that Alex Ashlock, formerly of WILL News, is a producer director on Here and Now. So you'll be working with him again.
That's right. We're going to have a Central Illinois Mafia on Here and Now.
It's part of our plan for world domination.
For world domination, exactly.
Here and Now is also, it's a one-hour daily show as we speak. It becomes a two-hour show, and it becomes an NPR WBUR co-production. How is the co-production part supposed to work out?
Yeah, this is a unique thing for NPR to do, which is to join up with a public radio station to produce a show that will have the NPR name on it. It will have access to NPR reporters and bloggers and the resources of NPR, but it will be a WBUR production, which is one of the things that I really like about it. I mean, I as you mentioned, I spent a lot of time at All Things Considered in Washington years ago, and I find that a lot of the news that we get these days is very Washington-centric and very, as a result, political. And I think that the fact that this show is going to be done out of Boston, which, yes, it's in the Northeast bubble, but it's not in the Northeast bubble the way that New York or Washington, D.C. are. And I think that that will allow it to have this sort of outside perspective on some of the stories and not get wrapped up in the same political back and forth that I feel like a lot of the kind of mainstream media do.
This is Focus. I'm Jim Meadows. And we're talking with Jeremy Hobson, who will be the new co-anchor on Here and Now, coming to the AM 580 daytime schedule in July. Right now, he is the anchor for Marketplace Morning Report. You've been in the anchor at the anchor seat for about how long now?
Almost 3 years now. I came in 2010.
And you had been with the program before that, I think, dating back with Marketplace to around 07.
Yeah, I came in 07 as a reporter in the Marketplace Washington Bureau and then came up to the New York Bureau as a Wall Street reporter a week before Lehman Brothers collapsed, which was fun. And then I did that for, I guess, a couple years and then started anchoring Marketplace Morning Report in 2010.
You do have being in the interesting position of working for a business news program at a time when the economy went haywire, and I'm not even quite sure if it's done yet.
Yeah, well, I don't think it is done yet, but it was a really it was an interesting experience. I mean, the I did not have a business background. I think maybe I took two economics classes in college. You know, I was a radio guy, I was a journalist, I was a storyteller all along, and when I really sort of grew up in business reporting was when I got to New York and all of that started to unravel. I you know, was learning about each day as I was leading off the Marketplace programs with my reports, had to kind of learn about whatever the topic of the day was. I remember when AIG collapsed, and I had just been in New York for a few weeks and was just getting my feet wet. And I got a call from my editor one evening, and he says, Jeremy, we need you to come in at 4 o'clock in the morning, tomorrow morning, to cover the collapse of AIG. And we need you to just explain what's going on, what it is, and all of that. And he, you know, we have a little 10-minute conversation about this. And I said, all right, you know, I'm down. I'm ready to go. I'll be there at 4 a.m. Quick question, what is AIG? So I had to learn that. As I went, it was a trial by fire, but as a result of having learned through that all the things that were going on in 2008, 2009, you know, there's almost no topic in business news at this point that I haven't at least covered a little bit. So that helps me out a lot in the anchor chair.
Let's take a short break now. This is Focus on WYLL. I'm Jim Meadows, and you're listening to an encore broadcast of a previous program.
Are you a past supporter of Illinois Public Media? Have you gotten a renewal letter from us recently? Have you been meaning to reinvest in your favorite news and music programs? Well, now's the time. We're closing in on the end of WYLL's fiscal year on June 30. While we're very close to our goal, your support can help put us over the top. Every donation counts. So send your check, call 217-244-9455, or go to willpledge.org to help us finish strong.
Support for WILL comes from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with a wide array of foods from around the world, including cheeses, olives, spices, hot sauces, olive oils, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio.
We're back with Focus on WILL AM 580. I'm Jim Meadows, and you're listening to an encore edition of Focus. We're not taking live phone calls this hour, but we welcome your feedback on our website at will.illinois.edu/focus. I'm Jim Meadows here in WYLL with Jeremy Hobson of Marketplace Morning Report. And beginning in July, he'll be the new co-host of Here and Now, joining our AM 580 schedule. But right now, I want to play a piece of audio from, I think, one of the first times you were ever on WYLL, Jeremy.
Uh-oh.
And we're talking about a program that ran here in the 1990s. It was a program for kids called Treehouse Radio. We're going to hear just a short clip featuring the two co-hosts of that program. The first person to speak is named Chris, and Jeremy is second.
Hello, and welcome to Treehouse Radio, where kids are heard but not seen. I'm Chris, and today I'm hosting the show with Jeremy.
The hit about the cat is at the control board.
The song we just played was called Fire of Change, and it was sung by the Smith Sisters.
It was about the first trees to change color in the fall.
And it was about people who changed, too.
We're sorry we got off to a slow start with the show.
It was raining. We couldn't even find the right tree. And even when we did, we're soaked.
Anyway, Jeremy Hobson and Chris, I'm sorry, I don't know his last name.
I'm sure that's Chris Jekyll, who's a good friend of mine.
Okay. Tell me about this program. Now, I can just tell you that as a WILL employee who's been here since 2000, I can walk down the hall towards the newsroom and see a framed poster for this program. But otherwise, I really know nothing about us. Tell us about Treehouse Radio.
Well, and the framed poster, by the way, I was given another copy of that, which is hanging up in my office here in New York City right now, and will travel with me, I'm sure, up to my office in Boston. But, I was in third or fourth grade at Leal School, and Sherry Lynn, who was producing Treehouse Radio at the time, came into our class and wanted to have the students write some radio dramas, and we all did, and she selected one that I had written and brought me on to do it on Treehouse Radio, and then I just started contributing to the show and occasionally hosting it. And I honestly don't remember all that much about what we did. I remember a couple of key things, one of which is that I got to interview Dave Barry when he was in town in Champaign-Urbana. And my friend, who I just saw the other day, by the way, who occasionally hosted the show also, Katie Schrepfer, got to interview Hillary Clinton. And this was back in 1992 when Bill Clinton was running for president, and Hillary came through Champaign-Urbana, and Katie got to interview Hillary, and I was very jealous of that. But the Dave Barry one was fun as well.
Okay. I think we, as a matter of fact, we have recently rediscovered the Hillary Clinton audio.
Uh-huh.
We'll be on the lookout for the Dave Barry piece as
right.
well. What was it like being on the radio at the age of nine?
I remember sitting in the old WILL studios, which were in the communications building on the quad.
Gregory Hall.
Right?
That's right.
Exactly. So I remember sitting in that studio so nervous that I was pulling the little carpeting out of the desk, because for people who haven't been in a radio studio, oftentimes there's something on the surfaces to make it, the sound sound a little bit better in the studio. So there was like a carpet on the desk, and I was pulling it out because I was nervous as I was doing this. But it was really cool. I mean, you know, I kind of knew at a very young age that this is something that I had a real interest in doing, being on the radio. And so I went in and did Treehouse Radio, and it was a thrill. And I remember as a kid that what I really wanted to do was go in during like a big severe storm when you guys were giving out the severe storm warnings and the tornado watches and all that, because I thought that was so exciting to see that little red light go off when all the big alerts started to come in. It was great. I mean, I remember even before I started working at WILL, I was obsessed with the local oldies station in town, and somebody gave me a tour of that studio, and I used to take up a good hour's worth of their Saturday night oldies request night that they did, just because I just wanted to listen to the radio, be on the radio. It was what I loved as a kid.
It's interesting, that sort of romance that radio can convey for some people. And of course, with someone in your position, there's a lot of different media you could be reporting the news on, but you've kept with radio all this time.
Yeah, I think that there is there's, as you say, there's an intimate connection that you have with the listener because they're talking to you. And one of the things that, you know, people should listen for, and I try to not do on the radio, is ever say, you know, good morning, everyone, or to refer to the audience, even though, you know, my show right now has 6 million people listening to it every week, but I am thinking of the audience as the one person, just like me, on the other end of the radio, waking up in their bed or making coffee or in the shower or in the car. You're having a one-on-one conversation with somebody, and I think that's what makes radio feel a little bit different than television or any other media.
Well, I'm going to fast forward a few more years to another piece of audio, and this is not Treehouse Radio, but I think this is around your college years when you were doing some reporting here for WYLL. This is a clip off a story where you were covering an appearance in Champaign by then the infamous white supremacist Matt Hale.
Hmm. About half of the crowd left less than an hour into the speech as a sign of protest, but fewer people in the auditorium didn't make it much easier for Hale to get his message out. Just under 30 police officers stood along the walls of the auditorium, and the handful of Hale's followers that attended sat in a section of the room by themselves. Over 100 police officers in total were on hand for the event, but police say no arrests were made. I'm Jeremy Hobson, AM 580 News.
And I think that's about 2001.
Yeah, actually, Jim, I think that amazingly was either the day before or 2 days before 9/11, because I remember doing. I think it was September 10th, 2001, that took place. And the next day, obviously, when everything everything changed, I was brought in that day to do a story about the lines at the gas stations in Champaign-Urbana. After the attacks in New York and Washington, the gas prices went up to $5 a gallon, which now these days seems normal, but at the time it was only a dollar a gallon for gas or something. They went up to $5 just in a matter of hours, and there were huge lines at all of the gas stations in town, and I had to come and do what I think was the first live report I ever did on WILL.
What I remember about that time was how irrelevant somebody like Matt Hale seemed after those attacks occurred. He was someone who was considered very disturbing whenever he was in town, but the next time he appeared, he just drew a lot less attention.
Yeah, it was, now listening back to that story, I would probably do it very differently today if I did it, but I think you can hear, as a young reporter, you know, I wanted to be very careful about trying to be I don't know if fair is the word, but I didn't want to, you know, there's nothing terribly that in the words that I say in that story, there's nothing terribly daring of me. It's just a very, this is what happened. This is how many people were there. This is where the police were. This is, and it's interesting. These days, I think I'm much more confident and willing to go out on a limb.
Well, it's interesting. I'm thinking of you as the kid who was listening to the old WKIO, Oldies 92. That's one part of radio, but you ended up working in the news part of radio. How'd that happen?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. I think that they went kind of hand in hand. There was, on the one side, I was getting very into the connection that one has that we just spoke about with radio and the. Just that personal connection with the person on the other end of the radio. On the other side of it, I was becoming a real news junkie. And I remember, you know, watching CNN on big days when big things were happening and just trying to consume as much news as I could. And so when I finally pieced those two things together, and I think a lot of that was with this Uni High WILL project that got started when I was at Uni High as a sub freshman. We did this piece with Holocaust survivors, and I started to understand the power of radio, and you know, I remember getting an email, or I guess at the time, I don't know if it was an email, maybe somebody called in and said that they had to pull over after hearing this piece that I had worked on because they were crying in their car. And I that had never occurred to me that that could happen. And I think after that, I realized that, you know, this really was an incredibly powerful medium, and you could do so much with it. And I think that drew me over more to the news side of things.
We're talking with Jeremy Hobson here on Focus Today. He's an Urbana native who is currently the anchor of the Marketplace Morning Report, which airs weekdays on WILL. And beginning in July, he'll be the co-host with Robin Young of Here and Now, which will be joining the AM 580 schedule from noon to 2. And if you'd have a question or comment for Jeremy, call us at 333-9455. Or call toll-free at 800-222-9455 or email us at will-talk@illinois.edu. Now, there was also a period, I understand, that you, before going to Marketplace, that you worked for NPR News as well.
Yeah, I was a producer. I was, after I spent my college years at WBUR in Boston and started doing some reporting, after I graduated college, about 6 months later, I got an offer to come down to Washington and work with All Things Considered at NPR. And I had been an intern there in between high school and college for a year. So they knew me, and they brought me back down, and I started as a producer, and I spent a good, I think, three years as a producer for All Things Considered, as well as for a midday show that they did called Day to Day, as well as for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me in Chicago, and learned the production side, which I think probably drives my producers now crazy because I try to produce all of my own interviews, but it was definitely helpful to learn kind of how radio worked from behind the scenes, which is incredibly important. I mean, I think people don't realize how much work goes on to make everything work and to make everything sound good in the end. But a lot of that work is a result of the producer, and I was able to learn that by doing that for a few years.
I thought I had read that you had done some work on election night in 2000 in Florida for NPR?
No, I was not in Florida. I was at NPR's election headquarters in Washington, but we were, you know, when it was very close in Florida, they had us calling precincts to find out what we could in Florida. So it was a weekend. I was at the University of Illinois as a freshman. This was in 2000, and I was invited out by friends at NPR to come and help out in the election central at NPR News on election night. And so I went there and worked on that. And yeah, it turned out to be quite a time to be covering an election.
That must have been a long day, just trying to keep track of those folks in Florida.
A long few weeks, I think. I mean, I flew back to Urbana the next day, but I think that Election Central in the NPR headquarters didn't get torn down for a couple of months.
Well, we have another caller in line one, Greg in Champaign. You're on the air on Focus.
Hi there. I just want to give a compliment to Jeremy. I've always enjoyed Marketplace.
Thank you.
And also, just want to talk about the connection. I'm here in Champaign, Urbana, and my son is a sub-freshman at Uni High School and loving it. And so I'm just glad to find out those things about you, and I look forward to your new show.
Fantastic. Thank you. You know, none of this would have happened. I know that it sort of sounds cliche, but none of this would have happened. I wouldn't have been able to reach, you know, the place where I am, which makes me very happy to be able to do Marketplace Morning Report and soon Here and Now, without my education at Uni High, and even before that at Lille, you know, and to have learned radio from people like Dan Simeone and Sherry Lynn and Jay Pierce. And WILL, it was just a great place to. Champaign-Urbana is the kind of place that, you know, if you take advantage of the opportunities that are there, you're in a world-class place. And you know, it really was a launching pad for me, and I'm so grateful for it.
Yeah, that's great to hear. I feel exactly the same way about Champaign-Urbana. Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Greg. I'm Jim Meadows on Focus, and my guest today is Jeremy Hobson of Marketplace Morning Report. And in July, with Here and Now joining our AM 580 schedule, it'll be on from noon until 2 on weekdays. And, of course, Jeremy Hobson has a long background with WILL when he was a lot younger. We still have a few minutes to talk. The number here is 333-9455, 800-222-9455. I'm wondering, I'm looking, Jeremy, at the Marketplace, the marketplace.org website, and looking at the web version, actually the text version, of the interview you did on this morning's program with Walmart's departing image man, Leslie Dotch, if I'm even close on his last name.
Doc,
thank you very much. And I'm just wondering, the way that the media has changed just over the past decade, do you think of programs like Marketplace are Here and Now as radio shows first, or just programs that exist in a lot of different ways?
No, I think they're radio shows first. I mean, I think at the end of the day, we're doing radio, and but they have taken on a new importance because, you know, as we were talking about, the newspaper industry, which traditionally has been the sort of primary source of news for Americans, is shrinking, and or it's moving online, and it's becoming different than it was. And I think that public radio has taken on a new importance. And you know, one of the things about then tying it to what you just brought up with this Walmart executive that we had on the show this morning, I think that it's important for us on Marketplace to take advantage of the fact that we have a very big audience every morning, and we are the public radio business program, to bring on the players from the major companies. I mean, in the last few weeks, we had I've interviewed the CEO of Airbus, the CEO of a company called Biogen, which is a big biomedical pharmaceutical firm in Massachusetts. We've talked to this Walmart executive. So I like to make sure that we are bringing on experts and people who can offer analysis, but also talking to the primary sources. And I think that the shows, all of the shows in public radio these days, are starting to move into that world, which is, you know what, we're one of the big news sources now. We need to make sure that we're not just talking to secondary sources, that we are bringing on the people that are making the decisions and asking them about those decisions.
That is, I guess, a dramatic change over the 40-something year history of public broadcasting. And if you looked at the early years of All Things Considered, for example, I think you'd see a program that was trying to find the angles that the mainstream broadcasters didn't touch. Now NPR, for better or worse, is a mainstream broadcaster, and it's still trying to find those different angles. But but public broadcasting in general is in a different place from where it was in the 1970s.
Yeah, I think that there has to be a mix. I mean, the way that you put it is exactly that. You know, finding the different angles that the mainstream media is not looking at, that is incredibly important for us to do. And I sometimes don't like to consume other media on various stories, because I want to make sure that I'm not being influenced by the same line of questioning or the same storyline that everybody else is. We need to make sure that we're asking different questions. But we are also the source of record on a lot of things, and we need to make sure that we are living up to that as well. So I think, you know, there are 24 hours in the day. There's a lot of public radio programming out there, and we can do all of these things. But we do need to, I think it's important to bring on the primary sources.
Is there any big business luminary you were hoping to get that is still out of reach to get on the program?
Well, I mean, I would really like to interview, I would love to interview Mark Zuckerberg. We've been trying to get him for a long time. I would love to interview Tim Cook at Apple. We've been trying to get him for a long time. But these are people that, you know, they don't do interviews that often, and they don't have to do interviews that often. One of the things I learned when I moved from Washington, covering Washington, to covering Wall Street, is that in Washington, mainly the people that you would want to interview are public representatives, and they kind of have an obligation to talk to the public. But on Wall Street, you know, these guys don't have to talk to anybody if they don't want to. So it's a lot trickier, and I'm very proud of the people that we've been able to get. I mentioned Warren Buffett. I've talked to Lloyd Blankfein, the CEO of Goldman Sachs, Richard Branson, Bill Gates, Melinda Gates. We've talked to a lot of really powerful people, and I'm really happy about that. But there are some that just have been very difficult to pin down.
Now, as a co-host of Here and Now, you could potentially try for all of these people, but you'll be working a much wider field now at Here and Now.
Yeah, it won't just be business and economics. It's going to be everything. I think you know, that's one of the things that's going to be a big challenge is can I learn how to interview an artist or an athlete and make it work the same way that my interviews with business leaders work on Marketplace. The thing that makes me feel good about that is that on Marketplace, and I think anybody who listens to the show on a daily basis would know that we aren't just covering business and economics. We're trying to look at the whole world through the prism of business and economics. So we end up doing a lot of stories that are only very thinly connected to money. But it is going to be a new challenge to go into the broader world of Here and Now.
Well, Jeremy Hobson, congratulations on the new gig, and we look forward to hearing you on Here and Now here on AM 580 beginning July 1st.
Thanks, Jim. It's been great being on. I thought that because Treehouse Radio was on before the internet was invented, that maybe I would never hear those tapes again. But thank you for bringing them back into everybody's ears.
Well, thank you very much for being on the show. And we first broadcast that interview with Jeremy Hobson on Focus back in April. Jeremy Hobson, a Champaign-Urbana native and former host of the Marketplace Morning Report, and an alumnus of WILL, will be the new co-host of Here and Now, which will air on WILL AM 580 starting next Monday. And with Here and Now coming to WILL next week, we'll also have a new local anchor for the program. And that is also a voice you may already know from his time at WEFT, the community radio station in Champaign-Urbana. Also, from his days hosting AM 580's program, Sidetracks. Jason Croft is the new local anchor for Here and Now on AM 580. Welcome to Focus.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me here.
And I guess we should also say that your voice is often heard on AM 580 a lot of the weekends.
Lot of weekends. I am here with you Saturday and Sunday afternoons. You can hear me talk about the programs. And every once in a while, you get to hear me do an underwriter as well to see who's been sponsoring us.
Well, you'll be the station break voice during Here and Now, which will be running from 12 p.m. until 2 p.m. on AM 580. And you'll also be introducing our local segments as well.
That's correct. It's kind of what you hear with Morning Edition and All Things Considered, where you do have your local voice intermingled with the network programming. So I will be here with the weather, with introducing features, doing interviews here and there, and the bits and parts to keep you locally connected to the larger program.
Now, this will be a change for longtime listeners of the Afternoon Magazine. This does mean a change in AM 580. The Afternoon Magazine, as we know it, is going away. Also, Talk of the Nation is going away. NPR is ending production of the show as they begin a partnership with WBUR in Boston to expand the production of Here and Now. So we aim to make Here and Now your midday program to bring you breaking news from the world and the country, but also the news you've come to expect on the Afternoon Magazine.
Yeah, and a lot of the elements that you have enjoyed from the Afternoon Magazine, we are folding in to Here and Now. So the big change is we won't be doing the half-hour BBC, the newsroom. That's a big change. Everything else is being folded in. So the Illinois Public Media News, we're still doing a full newscast at around 12:30 and some headlines at 12:04. Writer's Almanac is still going to be part of the program, although we are going to shift that, and it's going to be on at 1:30 as opposed to 12:50. So you still have that. And as we mentioned earlier, we will have local features, because the thing about Here and Now And this is really kind of a nice thing that they're doing, is they really want local stations to make this program their own. So they've actually built into the program many opportunities during the hour where stations can come in and do their own programming. They really want this to be, you know, a collaboration between member stations and the network programming. So there are local availabilities during the hour where we can put in local features, and we're really going to kind of take advantage of that because we have a lot of great features that come in daily from not only the Illinois Public Media News Group, you know, all the great reporters we have here, but also Illinois Public Radio, who covers the, you know, the vast amounts of Illinois that we don't. And Harvest Public Media. That's a new group, isn't it?
Harvest Public Media, which is looking at agriculture around the Midwest. And Bill Wheelhouse over at WUIS in Springfield has joined on with that organization, which is bringing us greater access to the Harvest Public Media output. You've heard some of their stories on NPR news shows. We'll also be bringing some of them to you as well. In our local portions on AM 580.
Right, and we're still going to have interviews, as I said, here and there. We'll be talking about the community cinema that we do and the community conversations that the news reporters go out and are a part of and then report back to us. We'll still be doing stuff like that, and we'll still have our agricultural updates.
Sue Martin will not be going away.
Sue Martin will not be going away. We will have her every day around the same time as before, kind of more like 12:58. So it's about the same time you'll be hearing her, although those ag reports will be a little more truncated than they are now. But they're still going to be in there. And, of course, you know, this whole program will lead into the closing mark report at 2 o'clock. So, you know, we still have very strong agricultural reporting as part of our afternoons.
Well, Jason, you've done a lot of production behind the scenes at WILL for the most part. So even though this is a little bit more visibility for you on Here and Now, you've actually been here at the station, well, for a while.
For a long time, since Greg Hall, since back in our old building on the campus of
and
the
I
university.
Say since the radio station part was at Gregory Hall.
Yeah.
By the time I came here in 2000, we were all broadcasting from
right.
Campbell Hall for Public Telecommunications, and I would hear stories, horrible stories of life in the portion of Gregory Hall that WILL Radio was given as temporary quarters back
since the 40s, yeah.
In the late 1940s.
Well, Gregory Hall was a lot of fun, actually, although, yes, space was at a premium, but I've been here for a very long time. In fact, I worked with one of the now producers of Here and Now, Alex Ashlock, when he was here at WILL.
It's like you'll be working with him again.
In a way, yeah. But I've been here for a very long time. Yes, I've done a lot of behind-the-scenes things. Here and there, I produce the Environmental Almanac every week with Rob Cantor. And, you know, we've got other projects I've been doing. And of course, for the very long time, I did the program Sidetrack, which was a monthly features program, which aired on Saturdays on the AM. Did that for about 11 years. And that was a fun one. Got a lot of really interesting stories told on that program. I know you did quite a few for the program, as did everyone. Anybody else I could rope into the program, which was fun. I mean, that was the thing where... you know, that was the program where the stories that weren't part of the headlines, you know, the stuff that's kind of behind the scenes, the stuff that the stories with heart, the stories that are a little bit oddball, a little bit unusual. That's the stuff I liked covering way back when. And that was a lot of fun to do for a long time. And maybe I can sneak some of those stories back into Here and Now. Maybe at least a few of those interviews, revisit some of those interviews we did.
Only time will tell.
Only time will tell, yeah.
And Jason, you also have another radio identity, and that's not here at WILL, but if you ever listen to community radio station WEFT out of Champaign,
yep.
Late on Friday nights, you do a show devoted to the musical subgenre of lounge music.
Of lounge music, yeah. Well, I am a radio geek. There's really no way around that. And when I get done with my duties here on Friday nights, I go to the community radio station, which is the other side of town in downtown Champaign, and I do a show called The Bachelor Pad, which, yes, it covers the 1950s and early 60s lounge music and Rat Pack music and and all that crazy swinging music. That...
How old were you during the lounge music era, Jason?
I was not even born. But there was, let me make a caveat, though. During the mid-90s, there was what we like to call the lounge revolution. And a lot of, at the time, 20-somethings like myself, when I was 20-something, we went digging through old thrift stores and record stores and found all these gems that had been forgotten and learned to really appreciate the music. So what I do and have been doing for many years over there at WEFT is hopefully turning people on to this type of music, which... you really don't hear a lot of anymore. It's, you know, the American songbook, but then some. You know, it's the hi-fi era when things were big and swinging and martinis ruled the world.
Unlike Jason, I am just old enough to remember that music. It was the sort of thing I would hear on TV variety shows.
Right.
I would like tune in something like Mike Douglas during the day at the Hollywood Palace on Saturday nights and. That would be exactly the music that
yep.
was. It was just considered the mainstream of American pop music, not counting rock and roll, which of course was taking over.
Right, and it's a fun show to do because it is sort of a whole different world. It's a whole different world, and I do it every Friday night at 10 o'clock there on WEFT, and it's a lot of fun. And it, you know, you can listen to it. We do that station WEFT does stream online too, so. No matter where you are, you can hear me doing my little lounge program.
So that work will continue, even
yes.
though I'm sure we'll be running you ragged as the new anchor of Here and Now on AM 580.
You know, I'm looking forward to do this. It's going to be a lot of fun. Here and Now is going to be a really interesting program, and it's going to really fit in nicely into our whole lineup within the day. And it's going to be a really nice resource to have. To bring us these stories during the midday. And when there's breaking news, it's going to be a really nice avenue from the continuity from Morning Edition to All Things Considered. It's going to be a really nice connector between those so that when breaking news happens, we can follow it throughout the day. And I think that's kind of exciting. And it's just going to be really some nice new voices to this airwave and not just my own, but, you know, the voices that the program will bring. And I'm really excited about it. I mean, they're really open to bringing other member stations in for features for their program. And I just like the way they think about approaching a magazine format with local stations.
So Here and Now from WBUR in Boston and NPR News is coming to AM 580 WILL beginning next Monday. It'll run weekdays from noon to 2 p.m., which means right after Fresh Air and just before the closing market report. And it'll feature hosts Robin Young and Jeremy Hobson. And here in Urbana, Jason Croft.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Jason, thank you very much for joining me on Focus this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
I'm Jim Meadows, and you've been listening to an encore presentation of Focus on WILL. Tune in for conversations about issues and ideas that affect your life each weekday morning at 10 with a replay at 8 p.m. We welcome any additional comments or questions you have about today's show on our website at will.illinois.edu/focus. Today's show was produced by Lindsay Moon. Other members of the Focus team are Pam Dempsey and Kimberly Cronick. Jason Croft is our technical director. You can always find free downloadable podcasts of the show on our website, and you can also find Focus on Facebook and Twitter at Focus 580. That's Focus numbers 580. This is Focus on WILL AM 580.
It used to be that jurors were warned not to discuss cases they were hearing. Nowadays, those warnings are much more detailed.
Do not use any electronic device, BlackBerry, iPhone, any text or instant message service, Facebook, MySpace, YouTube, or Twitter.
Juries in the digital age today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 4 to 7 on AM 580 and from 5 to 7 on FM 90.9.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with a look at the commodity markets. The U.S. Supreme Court today announced it will not hear an American Petroleum Institute plan to strike down the Obama administration's decision to allow the sale of E15 gasoline. The move effectively ends the legal challenges to E15, a fuel seen as a way for the ethanol industry to overcome the so-called blend wall. API asked the High Court to consider the case because it says that E15 can damage engines and cause vehicles that use it to break down, even vehicles that EPA has approved the use of fuel. Auto manufacturers have said they will not honor warranties when E15 causes damages. Ethanol industry advocacy groups lauded the decision as a win for consumers, including folks over at Growth Energy, which said in a statement today that the court's decision was important in a number of ways, including the fact that it gives consumers a choice and savings at the pump. Let's go ahead and look and see how futures are currently trading. In Kansas City, July wheat is 720 and three quarters, down 15 and three quarters. December is 735 and three quarters, down 14 and three quarters. July wheat in Chicago at 679, down 19. December, 701, down 16. July corn, 654 and a quarter, down 7.5. December, 546 and three quarters, down 9.5. July soybeans are 14.97 and a quarter. They're up 4. November at 12.66 and a half, down 7. July soybean meal 4.48, up 30 cents. July soybean oil at 47.47, down 55. June live cattle 121.35, up 10. August feeders 147.70, up 77 and a half. And July lean hogs are 101.35 and they are up 160. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. Is now 11 o'clock Central Time.